It was a sunny, beautiful 4th of July in Jackson. There were bands, a stunt walker on the wing of a plane, a lot of vendors selling food, and of course there were fireworks. And there was a 2-mile-long procession of marchers decked out in their white robes and hoods. 100,000 people turned out that 4th of July 1924 for a huge Ku Klux Klan rally. And this was Jackson, Michigan, not Jackson, Mississippi. With the 90th anniversary of this huge rally coming up, let's look at the history of the Ku Klux Klan in Michigan as we welcome Joellen Vineyard, professor of history at Eastern Michigan University. Welcome, Joellen.
Thank you for having me.
We so easily think of the Klan as being the most active in the South, but turns out the KKK had quite a heyday in Michigan from, what, around 1923 till about 1925?
Right, that's right.
What brought them to Michigan?
Well, this is a second Klan. It's a new reborn Klan, started in Georgia in 1915, and then two recruiters took over to gain members, and they came to Michigan, the first of them in 1921, to identify potential sources of support for the Klan. And it spread through the state like wildfire.
Why did that spread so quickly? Why did Michiganders embrace the Klan?
Michigan at that time was going through tremendous changes. It was perhaps one of the most volatile states in the nation. Because of the auto industry, because of the many people moving in to work in the factories or allied jobs, and it had brought a whole new population, and at the same time, new types of work, new residences, and the farm people found themselves being outnumbered increasingly in terms of politics, the economy, and every other way. So it was fertile ground for the Klan. It really was.
And when you think of, as you talked about, an influx of people, especially coming for the auto plant work, you're looking at Southerners, you're looking at white Southerners and black Southerners.
Right. And you're looking also at the new immigrants, some of whom had settled first on the East Coast and now came to Michigan for the auto jobs. And most of these newcomers that were immigrant in background were Catholic.
And I know I grew up right near the shrine, National Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, often went there. Anyone who's driven along Woodward has seen that huge limestone cross right there at Woodward and 12 Mile, built in 1936. And I always knew growing up it was built that way because the Klan had burned a cross on the Shrine of the Little Flower's lawn when that church first opened in 1926. And I'd always heard that that big stone cross was built that way to make something that the KKK could not burn down. So why did the Klan broaden its scope to include Catholics and non-Protestants?
Well, at this time, one of the driving forces behind the Klan was a desire to keep America safe for Americans. And they saw these new coming Catholic immigrants as a threat to democracy. They particularly did not like Catholic schools. And one of the issues in Michigan from about 1918 on had been a ballot effort to do away, in effect, with parochial schools. So this was one of their big concerns. The Klan in Michigan was as anti-Catholic as it was anti-black. Anti-Catholic, anti-Jewish, and anti-black. So they also are reacting not only to these immigrants, but to prohibition, because this is the time Michigan went dry before the rest of the United States. Prohibition came here in 1918, and the Klan took it upon themselves to try to uphold the prohibition law, and to them, they saw these foreigners as breaking the law because they drank, continued to drink. Not that everybody else didn't, too, but they saw them as a real threat to American values, democracy, the Protestant way of life that they felt America was based on.
So that there was fertile ground. That's fascinating. Yeah. If you've just joined us, we're looking at the history of the Ku Klux Klan in Michigan. There was quite a burst of activity from about 1923 till about 1925. And we're speaking with Joellen Vineyard, who's a professor of history at Eastern Michigan University. Can you tell us more, Joellen, about that big, big 4th of July rally 90 years ago in Jackson? Can you describe it for us?
It was, as you said, a very large rally. About 100,000 people came, an estimated 100,000 people, to a farm that the Klan rented outside of Jackson. It was a 750-acre farm. And they were there for 2 days and held this rally, and they had speakers, including Dr. Hiram Wesley, the Imperial Wizard of the Klan, Wesley Evans, and they had, you know, speakers and ministers and politicians of all sorts talking to them. They sang songs. They had religious services. It was a major event. This was not all that uncommon. Other places around Michigan had rallies. This just happened to be an especially large one.
And for the people there, really no sense of shame, right? I mean, I think I read somewhere where Coca-Cola had its, you know, truck up saying, you know, almost like official soft drink sponsor.
Right. The Klan members felt no need for shame. They felt that they were the ones who were protecting America. And there was an anti-masking law passed in Michigan in 1923, which was often violated, but it had said that you could not parade wearing masks, namely the hood of the Klan uniform. And sometimes they continued to do that, wearing their masks and defy the law. But other times they didn't care because they felt they were the Americans after all. Mm-hmm. They were good, solid citizens, and they wanted, you know, people to see how proud they were of that.
Why and when did the steam go out of the Klan's popularity in Michigan?
Well, it started to wane after the election of 1924. There had been a major push in that election to pass the amendment again, which had failed in 1920, to pass the amendment that would require all children to attend public schools from the age of 7 through 16 or 8th grade graduation. And that failed again. So that was one factor. But in the meantime, there had been some scandals that were brewing, national scandals within the Klan, local scandals with the funds being mismanaged, and people were beginning to feel they'd been betrayed by some of their own. And the other thing, you can only sustain this kind of fervor for so long. It was a high-pitched activity for, you know, a year or two there, where they were going to rallies all the time. They were marching, burning crosses on hills, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And by the mid-20s, Michigan is having, the agricultural sector is having economic trouble. And so they've got to tend to other issues. The auto industry underneath the surface is also having trouble. It didn't become apparent until almost 1929.
Okay. So we weren't in the recession or in the Great Depression yet, but things were trending downward.
Things were dicey. Right?
Okay.
And there's always that chance in any place when, you know, you have the chance of great wealth, great riches, that the flip side of that is not so good. The flip side is you can go broke.
Joellen, do you think this is a part of history that kind of should be tucked away on the back shelf of Michigan's closet, or do we need to really study this because this part of our history offers lessons to us in 2014?
Right. We really do need to study it, and we need to understand who the Klansmen were, because at the time, even in the 20s, some of the progressive reform Republicans were embarrassed by the Klansmen. They said, this is a fringe group. These are people who don't represent the party or other Michigan residents. Other people later on have called them bigots, but they were none of those things. They were bigots, and they were serious about their issues in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really solid Americans. These are the people next door. These are the people, you know, your Aunt Tilly, and the baker that you get your bread from. These were not unusual people. They're ordinary, everyday residents that we all live among, then and later. These are just people who had decided it was up to them to take a stand. And we have people like that for the rest of the time period. There's a large anti-communist faction in Michigan. And then you move on into the Tea Party.
And we, when I, you know, it's interesting as I think about what you're describing with, you know, we're going to keep America American, and I'm thinking of the Quran burnings that just happened in Dearborn with groups saying this is America and this is the way we live. So, you know, you talk about you fail to learn from lessons of the past and you're doomed to repeat them.
Right. And they don't see that those lessons of the past apply now. It's always a different circumstance. It's not, history does not really repeat itself, but certain attitudes take hold, and they're very difficult to get rid of. Stereotyping is a feature of everyday life in America.
A really interesting look at the history of the Ku Klux Klan in Michigan with Joellen Vineyard, professor of history at Eastern Michigan University. It was so good to talk with you, Joellen. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for talking with me. It's been a pleasure.